Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, we're going to talk about the work of the Partnership for Umpqua Rivers, Eric Riley. If I can get that out, boy, one of those days. The executive director, thanks for coming over today.
Hey, Kyle, it's good to be here again.
So, kind of give folks, if they're not familiar, an overall idea about the work of your organization, what it's all about.
Yeah, so Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers is a watershed council. There are several throughout the state. Our main focus is salmon habitat restoration and water quality monitoring throughout the entire Umpqua Basin.
So how long has it been around?
The council was started in 1993. I've been with the council since 2007 and became the executive director in 2011. So it's got a long run.
How did you get kind of involved into this career area?
You know, I shouldn't even say this in Douglas County, but I was born and raised in California.
And new
in high school, I didn't want to stay in California. So after college, I got a job here in Roseburg. Eventually working in natural resources, that's what my degree's in, and eventually through a series of fortunate steps, I landed at the Watershed Council.
And talk about maybe kind of how the organization works, how many staff you have, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we currently have 7 full-time staff, and we are broken down into a restoration. We have a restoration coordinator, so a restoration program, and then a monitoring program with a coordinator.
It seems like kind of a unique model. Are there groups like this? Is that pretty frequent?
There are. There's over 50 watershed councils in the state. Each one is set up a little differently, funded a little differently, staffed a little differently, managed a little differently, and have a different focus. Like I said, here we're focused on salmon habitat restoration and cool, clean water.
So, because a lot of times people would look at this area and think, you know, it falls under Fish and Wildlife or the Forest Service or some other agency, but I imagine you end up working with those folks at points too.
Yeah, so that's the real neat thing about watershed councils. They are kind of like the liaison entity that can bring a multitude of partners together that often don't work together. So we'll bring federal and state agencies together, private landowners together with federal agencies. So we're kind of like that the hub of the spoke, or the spoke in the wheel, you know.
What kind of things are you working on this summer?
So this summer we've got quite a few projects going on. Our big in-stream restoration project is focused in Rock Creek. This will be our second summer working up there doing habitat restoration post Archie Creek fire. And we did a lot of work out there last summer. We're kind of going back and augmenting some of the work we accomplished at that site and then doing some side channel work for juvenile fish. We're also replacing 3 different culverts throughout the county, 2 of them on private land, 1 on BLM land, and that's all for fish passage and increasing access to more habitat. And then on the water quality monitoring side, we do continually water quality monitoring throughout the basin year-round. So we'll be doing that all summer, along with some effectiveness monitoring in Rock Creek and in Rice Creek, where we've done restoration work. So we want to show how well our work is doing.
So I would imagine in the Rock Creek area, it's quite the challenge after all the changes that came from the fire.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different place. Like I said, last year we did our first year of restoration work post-fire. We'd been planning this large-scale restoration project for several years before the fire came. And we'd done work previous years in Rock Creek. But it is obviously a different landscape to work in, which comes with challenges. You know, resources are not as available as they once were out in the watershed, certainly. But we're trying to utilize what's left on the landscape to help us do our restoration work.
Do you feel like in some ways you've kind of had to almost start like from ground zero?
In some instances, you know, the streams did not change that much. Some large wood that was in the streams already did get burned through the fire process. But what we're really focused on, and it was here's a good thing that comes out of a horrible event in Archie Creek, that, you know, we're trying to because we had the restoration work planned, we're trying to take advantage of some of the materials that we assume are going to be coming downstream in the winter, which they did this winter, and we're hoping to catch more next winter.
What was it like for you? Because Archie Creek happened while you were out of the country, right?
Yeah, I was. I was overseas with the military and kind of watched it happen from afar, which was disconcerting. We've talked about that a couple of times. But when I came back, it was just a different watershed. And we could see the fire scar from our house up out of Glide. And it was different. It was almost, I'd seen landscape that I hadn't seen before because it had been covered with trees.
When you got back following your work with the National Guard, how soon was it before you were able to get up into that area and look around?
I got home in late December of 2020, and I actually went up there just after the first of the year. Took a drive up there, and it was a very not my normal joyous drive up into the woods, certainly.
A lot of people, and I would echo this, have said it's really hard, maybe even now, to know where you are.
It is, because all your landmarks that you'd known for 20, 30 years growing up are not there anymore. And like I said, it just looks different.
Yeah, I think the moon is kind of the way I describe some areas.
Moonscape with some sticks on it. Yes, it's obviously we all know it was a devastating fire, and our restoration work, we're trying to make the best out of the situation to at least help the fish and the water quality.
With everything that's going on up there, have you added or looked at adding some additional projects just given all the changes?
We are. In fact, I just got out of a meeting with our BLM partners and my staff talking about future work up there beyond this summer to include additional fish passage and doing work in some of the side tributary streams that feed Rock Creek. We might as well do as much as we can while we have the opportunity up there.
Wow. A lot of work ahead there. Talk about some of your other work in restoration planning.
So we're with the infrastructure funding that is coming down from the federal government, we locally are, I'll be honest, we're a little behind the power curve on that. I mean, we didn't anticipate infrastructure funding coming, but it's coming, and we're trying to work with our partners, BLM, Forest Service, private timber, and other private entities, to leverage some of that funding as it comes available. So we're looking at strategic planning for coho salmon recovery work throughout the basin. We've formed a group, the South Coast Tidegate Collaborative Group, with other watershed councils on the South Coast and soil and water districts on the South Coast to try to come together, not only take advantage of us as a group, but take advantage of some of this funding that's coming down.
With these other organizations, do you ever work together on projects where you might send folks their way or they might come your way?
We have done some cross-leveling work, but not a lot. And that's what this, in particular, the South Coast Collaborative, Tidegate Collaborative, is focused on doing, bringing five different entities that are actually competitors for funding together to be stronger as a whole instead of individually.
Do you know what kind of the timeline is for some of these funds?
Well, some of the funds are coming. In fact, we've already, at the Watershed Council at PIRR, we've already been able to take advantage of some of the funds coming down for fish passage work. But we, NOAA Fisheries, for example, National Marine Fisheries Service funds are becoming available, and we're looking at writing grants this summer and fall.
How big a challenge is this, doing all this work, and what would the impact be on the fish if none of this was being done?
Challenge. Well, there's a lot of challenges with any restoration work. You know, there are regulations that are in place that we have to meet, permitting requirements that we have to meet, and then just timing and availability of contractors to actually do the work. I don't drive an excavator to put logs in. I don't have that skill set. But so that there are a multitude of challenges, and then the funding thing. The funding is always a challenge for any endeavor, right? But that doesn't escape us. And like I said, some of those entities that we're trying to collaborate with on the South Coast, we're actually competitors in the grant funding game.
So with all that's going on in the Archie Creek area, so much rebuilding and infrastructure and things, Is it a challenge to find the contractors to help you work on some of these projects? Are they pretty focused in things like that, or are some of them working on other projects up that area?
It is a challenge because there's so much work to be done, particularly in Archie Creek fire area. There are only a set amount of contractors to do the work, and many of them have skills to do multiple kinds of work, but it's just availability that it boils down to at the end of the day.
All right, Eric Riley, Executive Director of the Partnership for Umpqua Rivers, back with more on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On Inside Douglas County tomorrow, State Representative David Brocksmith will be with us. Eric Riley is Executive Director of the Partnership for Umpqua Rivers, talking about their work, what's going on this summer, and the many aspects of the restoration work up the North Umpqua. We've talked a lot about the post-Archie Creek work. How big a geographic area does your work fall under?
So we work literally from the Cascades to the coast. Projects that we're working on down in the Reedsport area include tide gate restoration, tidal wetland restoration work. And then all the way up the river in those tributaries out Tyee, South County, South Umpqua River. So we're all over the basin.
And, we've got a big geographic area to cover. Is that its own challenge sometimes?
It is. There are two other watershed councils in the basin, Elk Creek, up out of Drain area, and then Smith River, obviously out of Smith River. But there is more work than we could do, and more work than there is funding for us to do the work. My hope is as some of this infrastructure money comes through in the next couple of years, that we can expand our workload.
Let's talk about that funding piece, because you're kind of a unique organization. Where do the funds come from to pay these folks and to fund these projects?
Yes, that's a good question. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is 100% grant funded. So all of our projects, all of our staff time, all of our administrative funds comes from grants that we write in a competitive environment. Occasionally, we get an opportunity to work with foundations that has some funding for us, but I'd say 98% of our funding comes from competitive grant writing, state and federal.
So a lot of work goes into grants. I've never dealt with that, but I know a lot of people who have for different nonprofit organizations. That could be its own giant project, and a lot is riding on those. So I imagine that you're applying in a lot of diverse areas because you're not guaranteed that you're going to get everything
right.
You go after.
Right. We just had our annual meeting last week, and I gave my staff some props just for the great job they've done this last year in continuing developing projects, implementing projects, and fundraising. For example, in May, we submitted 15 different grants for over $1.3 million, I think it was the total, maybe even a little more than that. It is a challenge because that could be a whole separate group of my staff that just does grant writing. That's not how we're organized, it's a challenge, and it keeps us busy year-round.
What about partners? You mentioned your annual meeting.
Yeah, so we work with several partners, partners to me means not only our funders, but the landowners we get to work with. So like I said, on the funding side, we go a lot. A lot of our funding comes from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. A lot of funding comes from Title II funding, BLM RAC funding, and then other federal and state funding opportunities. We also work with some smaller entities for funding. Ducks Unlimited, Pacific Birds has funded some work we've done in the recent years. So that's good. The land we work on, we don't own any land, so we're always working with landowners, whether that's public landowners, BLM Forest Service, private timber we work with a lot and have worked with them a lot over the years. And then quite often private individual landowners that have a stretch of stream that are interested in restoring.
And what about the other organizations that you work with?
So a lot of the organizations we work with are local natural resource agencies. So we partner with, like I said, the Bureau of Land Management and their natural resource staff, do a lot of work with ODFW and Natural Resources Conservation Service locally. And really, like I said, we're kind of the hub where we bring all of these professional technical skills together to implement the work we do, whether it's in the stream or even on the uplands.
So you've got a lot of different people that are all interested in some of these similar areas. I'm curious about the aspect of working with private landowners, because I can imagine somebody's just saying, well, why don't they go do that themselves?
Well, the simple answer, the work we do is expensive. To hire the equipment, to acquire the resources, whether they're logs or boulders or whatever material we're doing the habitat restoration with, it's very expensive. And then to do the work is expensive. Most individual landowners can't afford that. And that's where the council is that good liaison between these funding opportunities, these agencies, and technical experts, and the individual private landowner.
So here in the Pacific Northwest, we've got, you know, this incredible landscape, all these diverse environments between the Cascades and the coast and all those areas. When you go back to other parts of the U.S., things oftentimes look different just based on the topography. Are there similar groups in those places working on other issues?
There are in other parts of the nation. The Northwest in particular is kind of unique with watershed councils, especially Oregon and Washington. And here in Douglas County, we've got a unique situation. The BLM land is in a checkerboard ownership situation with blocks of private land interspersed in between, whereas other parts of the nation, you know, the BLM owns large chunks of land that are contiguous. So it provides challenges, but also it gives us opportunities to bring more partners to the table.
So when you're looking at a project sometime, maybe however that kind of surfaced as an idea, you've got to go through, and maybe you already know certain aspects of it, but just figure out exactly whose land is where on all of this, and then you've got to kind of get everybody together. You can't just get partway through a project and then call somebody and say, okay, we're at the border of your land now. Is it okay if we do this?
Yeah, we're coming, and we're here to help. No, there's a lot of relationship building that goes on with the work we do, and that often takes a year or two prior to ever even writing a grant for the project. You know, we're developing trust, developing concepts for a project. So yeah, there's a lot of legwork that goes into the restoration work that we do. Even the monitoring, gaining access to monitor water quality on properties. You know, we gotta build a relationship and gain that trust first.
You talked about your background. What about the background of the people that work with you?
So we have hydrologists, we have fisheries and wildlife biologists. We have, we have a research specialist who runs our water. I call her research specialist. She did a lot of research in her early half of her career. But we're all science-oriented staff members.
Wow. So is that, are their degrees fairly similar?
Yep. Yep. So mine in particular focuses on fisheries and wildlife. We have our restoration coordinator. She's got a degree in hydrology with a background in fisheries and wildlife. Our monitoring coordinator has a degree in biology, and she has done research over the years and really runs our water quality monitoring program as a research-based, you know, mindset. That's how technical she is. So.
If people want to find out more about what you're doing, talk about maybe your website or how they can gain more information.
Yeah. Our website, if you type into your computer Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers, you'll get our website. And you can learn about what we do. Feel free to call me. I'll give you my office number. It's 541-673-5756. Just give me a call and I'll share more.
Eric Riley, Executive Director of the Partnerships for Umpqua Rivers. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.